Coming up next on Sound Doctrine.
You know what he's saying here? Either you're seeking him and waiting on God, or he's waiting on you until you hit bottom. He's just kind of sticking around. He's not going to leave. He's not going anywhere. We either seek him and we'll find him, or we don't, and he just waits until we hit bottom or hit the wall again or whatever we need to go through until we get converted, until we really see this thing. This is a living, vital relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father, our Creator.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Today on Sound Doctrine, we'll be looking at a section of the Sermon on the Mount that is crucial to the life of a believer. We often find ourselves in a position as Christians where we lack what God wants to give us, and it's because we haven't asked. Even when we ask God, we very often ask off target, because we rarely know what's best for us in life. Here's Pastor Jeff Johnson continuing our study in Matthew in part one of Ask, Seek, and Knock. We're in chapter 7 today.
Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Some say, and they believe this, that this sermon is for when we finally get into the kingdom age. Because as they read this sermon, they go, there's no way we can do that now. So that's for later on. That's the kingdom age. But no, I got good news. This is for today. And the Lord shared this because he wants us to experience it now, thank God, because we need this sermon in our lives. To those who have a relationship with God, to those who are born again, you must be born again. That's what Jesus said. He's just given us the meaning and balance about judgment. That we're not to be as the Pharisees, we're not to be hypercritical and judging as they judge. Yet we are to discriminate. We're to judge righteously by the Word of God. God's given us His Word, and we're to be fruit inspectors. Remember, we talked about that. And these are some pretty heavy exhortations. And yet this next section that we're getting into, it's a new section, is right on time, I believe, and right in the right place, especially in the midst of the sinful world that we're in, the uncertainties all around us, and there's so many hazards in this place, so many things that can trip us up. This is what we need. What a very comforting and lifting statement. These are what is called in the Bible precious promises that we need to hold on to, cling to, rely upon. These are here to encourage us to face this life and the unknown future that we have with hope. That you look at everything with the hope of the gospel and the hope of the word. Remember, this wasn't for the multitudes. Jesus did not give this at first to the multitudes. He gave it to who? He gave it to his disciples. There's a scripture down in 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. Listen. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is turned towards him. I love that verse. Because that's true. God is looking for those who are turned towards him that he might show himself strong towards them. He wanted to strengthen his disciples. He wants to strengthen us today. Here again, he reveals our real need, and of course, our real need is to have a close relationship with our Father. You can't have a right relationship with your fellow man unless you have a close and right relationship with your Heavenly Father, your Creator. So that's number one, and once that's accomplished, then you begin to have that relationship with your fellow man. And it begins to work. Then we can start helping others, truly helping them, when we ourselves are truly converted. And that's what Jesus said to Peter. Oh, Peter, when you get converted, then you will strengthen your brethren, and not until. So the need to be converted, transformed. Now, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting with verse 7 is where we left off. Jesus now says, I want you to ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So he says right off, he changes the subjects. He says, you need to pray. And this asking here is to beg, is to depend upon the Lord for everything. We need to seek the Lord in prayer. In fact, over in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. That's interesting. You mean lack of prayer and not praying is sin? Yeah. We need to pray. James says it like this, if you're lacking wisdom, you ask God, and He will give it to you liberally. Ask Him, beg Him, cry out to Him, and He will give you what you need to make the decisions you need to make in life, that they will be godly decisions, that you'll be able to make righteous judgments, not become pharisaical. We need prayer. He's asking us to do some heavy things. So He says, seek me. Remember Solomon? Solomon was told by the Lord, just ask me. And you know what Solomon prayed? He prayed for a wise and understanding heart to guide God's people. And God said, because you didn't ask for riches, because you didn't ask for yourself, because you didn't ask to destroy your enemies and all these other things you could have asked for, but because you sought me to give you understanding, to do that which is right in my eyes, I'm going to give you a whole bunch more of other things. I'm going to bless your life. So the need to ask, and that's in 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon's request. Now, over in the Gospel of John in chapter 15, let me just read it to you. You can mark it down. John 15, 16, he says, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I love that verse. And then over in John 16, in verse 23, and in that day Jesus says, you shall ask me nothing. Truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto, you have asked nothing in my name. And then he says, ask. And the word there in the Greek is, please ask, will you? He's just saying, come on, guys, get this. Ask me. You have not, James said, because what? You ask not. So he says, please ask, and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Oh, how the Lord wants our joy to be full in Him. Please ask. In 1 John chapter 5, John says this in verse 14. Write it down. Look it up later. It's a powerful verse. This is 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know this, that He hears us whatsoever. For if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So He says, please ask. And then there's this other word that Jesus says, ask. But then he says, and I want you to seek. And in seeking, there's a desire that you really want this. And so you go after it. You're seeking. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, in verse 2, listen to what he says. And he's talking with Asa. And it's in the middle of the verse. He says, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. That's a heavy verse. You know what he's saying here? Either you're seeking him and waiting on God, or he's waiting on you until you hit bottom. He's just kind of sticking around. He's not going to leave. He's not going anywhere. We either seek him and we'll find him, or we don't, and he just waits until we hit bottom or hit the wall again or whatever we need to go through until we get converted, until we really see this thing. This is a living, vital relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father, our Creator. Then over in 1 Chronicles 28:9, and remember, this is to Solomon, David saying, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all the hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. And then over in Psalm 27, verse 4 and verse 8. I love this. He says in verse 4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that which I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. And then in Psalm 27, 8, he says, when thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. He's getting it. I know that this is what I got to do, and I'm going to go for it. Over in Proverbs 8, in verse 17, he says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Something about early, you know, in the morning, you know, as Psalm 5 says. Early in the morning, seek the face of the Lord. Why? Because you're going to end the day with the Lord. So it's very important we seek him early. And then, of course, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And then the final thing he says, ask, seek, and knock. Now, knocking is a continual action. You're just knocking until something takes place. To see if God will open the door. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, Paul says that the Lord has opened an effectual door, but there are many adversaries. God opens and closes doors. Hey, Revelation 3:20. I'm knocking. Do you hear me? I'm knocking on your heart's door. If you'll just open up your heart, I'll come. And we'll sup together, and your life will forever be changed. Come on, open up your heart. And then remember over there in Revelation, again, chapter 3, and verse 7, he says, to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, these things saith he that is holy, that is true, and that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, you've kept my word, and you've not denied my name. So the Lord opening and shutting doors. He then says in verse 8, let's look at it, chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 8. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So what is he doing? He's sort of repeating what he just said, isn't he? You see, the Lord is the master teacher. He's the master rabbi. Rabbi means teacher. And you know, the best teaching method is what? Repetition, over and over again. So he repeats it twice. And remember this, is a promise made by who? The Son of God. This is a precious promise made by Jesus. In other words, God will hear you. And we will receive, we will find, it shall be open to you, he is saying. So this is God's perspective, if you will, of prayer. This is God's view, different than the world's. And in fact, it's radically different. Because the world's view is always, well, life is a journey, and life is full of perplexities, and life is full of problems, and it's full of so many uncertainties, and everything. Oh, man. But God looks at it a whole different way. The truth is this, that in the world, it's true, you will have tribulations. But Jesus says, be encouraged, because, guys, I've overcome the world. Get your eyes on me. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so we're to follow after these things. Remember Father Abraham. And the reason I say he's Father Abraham to us, because he's the father of faith, right? And over there in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 8 of Hebrews 11, it says of Abraham, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whether he went. He didn't know what was going on. He took a step of faith. We don't know the future, but we know who holds the future. And we're to be obedient and take steps of faith. Like David. David said in Psalm 23 in verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You are with me. You know, just to walk through this life knowing that God is with us. Think about it. If you really believe that, would you become an overcomer or what? Think about it. God's with me. That's awesome. What a promise. Jesus said over in John 14, he said in verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, and that my Father would be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, and then he says in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then he goes on and says, I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, that he might be with you forever. And then in verse 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. I want to walk with you, man. I want to talk with you. I want to be intimate with you. I want to experience everything this life has got to throw at you. You remember, I was here, Jesus said, and I not only sympathize with what you're going through, I empathize because I went through similar things. I understand totally about what you're going through. So Jesus knows all, and he knew that there many would forsake him even and run for their lives. In fact, over in John 16, in verse 32, interesting verse, Jesus says, behold, the hour comes, yea, and now it's come, that you shall be scattered, every one to his own. You shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Everybody's going to forsake me, run away from me, and you'll leave me alone, but I'm not alone. The Father is with me. Just that knowledge. Isn't this the bottom line? And what really matters is that God is with us, Emmanuel. So he doesn't really promise to change our life situation, whatever you're going through. He doesn't say, okay, I'm going to change this for you. He doesn't do that. He doesn't say, I'm going to remove your trials and your problems. He doesn't do that. And I think one of the great illustrations of that is David coming against Mammoth Goliath. I mean, David could have prayed out and said, God, remove this giant from me, please. I don't like the size of him. He's threatening. I could get hurt. God, take care of him. He didn't do that, did he? The Lord said, or gave him boldness to go towards him in the name of the Lord. And David went, and ran at the guy and was doing his sling, man. And that guy went down. And that's a real good lesson for us to know that the Goliaths that we have and that we're facing is something that the Lord is, it's a testing. It's a proving time for each of us. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to stand in my name? Are you going to have victory with the faith that I've given to you? And I'm going to fight the battle for you. I'll guide that guided missile right into between the eyes. And that monster is going down. I love that. So there's not going to be a rose garden without thorns. I'm not going to give you one of those. There's going to be thorns. Now, listen, to the Lord, life is real. And yet, Jesus is real. This is the neat thing. Life's real, but Jesus is real. I'll tell you something. Whatever we sow in this life, it's true whether you're saved or not, and you're hearing my voice, you're going to reap. If you sow to this flesh, you're going to reap corruption, and that's just the way it is. Yet those who ask, who seek, who knock, are going to reap everlasting life. And we need to see this. These are the guys that are overcomers. These are the guys that are entering into the peace that passes understanding, the joy unspeakable and full of glory. These are the ones that are serious about being converted and about following after the things of the Lord. Now, this does not mean that whatever we want or need, God will give it to you. And you're going to see this as we go along here. Sometimes you'll hear these verses and you'll say, hey, that's it, man. I can just say it, claim it, and I got it. Well, there's some conditions. We'll look at those. It is amazing to me how many start out being real prayer warriors right at the beginning. And they start praying about everything. God gives them some answers. But then after a while, he kind of lets us go a little bit. And we're praying about some stuff and it doesn't happen right away. And sometimes we're like spoiled children. Hey, I just asked you last week. Nothing. What's going on? And we get a little upset. And immediately you're down in the dumps and you're depressed and you're in despair. And then you start saying, well, I don't think God's true to his word. I mean, hey, he said ask and I asked and I didn't get it. I'm unhappy with him. I'm not a happy camper. And I'm not getting what I want. You see, we need to believe all his word, not just verse 7 and 8 of chapter 7 of Matthew, but we need to believe verses 9, 10, and 11. It all goes together, doesn't it? And we need to keep it in context. Listen, verse 9, or what manner is there of you, or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks of a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him?
This is Sound Doctrine. And today, Pastor Jeff Johnson delivered a message called Ask, Seek, and Knock. For a copy of today's message on CD, give us a call at 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. You can also listen to our studies in Matthew's Gospel at our website and through our mobile app. We're on the web at sounddoctrineradio.org. And you can download the Sound Doctrine podcast app in the App Store or get it from Google Play. Look for Sound Doctrine wherever you get your podcasts and at oneplace.com. Here at Sound Doctrine, we're committed to helping you build your life on the sound doctrine contained in God's Word. And we have a special resource to recommend that can help you in that endeavor. It's A Passion for Jesus. This is a collection of easy-to-read daily devotions written by Kay Smith, Linya Heitzig, Karen Johnson, Sharon Reese, Karen Pulley, Gail Mays, and more. Ladies, you'll be greatly encouraged each day as they pour out their hearts, sharing personal experiences of God's faithfulness. I think you'll find it both edifying and encouraging at the same time. Available right now at sounddoctrineradio.org. Then click on Store or call 800-353-7553. We're grateful for your prayers and partnership. Together, we can help people all over the world have access to sound doctrine in God's Word and grow as a result. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Or again, call 800-353-7553. There's more to come in the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll pick up where we left off next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel, Downey. So, Father.